This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It is the 24th of May, 2011 here in Japan, and I'm talking to Freeman of FreemanTV.com back in the USA. And Freeman, it's great to have you here again. Thank you for joining us today.
It's wonderful to be here with you, James. I love your show. I love being here.
Well, thank you. And I love your show. So let's tell people a little bit about what you're doing, because you've got a lot of things on the go these days. And as I mentioned, you're at FreemanTV.com, but you have the Free Zone, and you have something you're working on called AMNTV. Tell people a little bit about the work that you're up to these days.
Yeah, okay. Well, I've tried to separate my stuff into styles as opposed to topics. And so I have many different frequencies for you to check me out on. I've got the old TV show, which is, you know, a classic, I think, now. And then the Free Zone. Well, in between the Free Zone and the Freeman Perspective TV show, I came up with Confessions of a Conspiracy Theorist. So I have a bunch of different flavors of myself on the website, because there's many different ways to transmit this type of knowledge. But my goal has always been to give people the tools to make change instead of all, you know, I'm trying to teach people to fish, to use the metaphor, instead of throw out all the data so that you can just say this is the way it is and let you become the researcher, let you take over where I left off. I just want to put the platform out there and allow you to, you know, go forward with it all. So right now I've got a bunch of irons in the fire. I am working on the Alternative Media Network, and they are a new network going out through streaming boxes to televisions. I think it's called Roku. And we'll have our own conspiracy history channel, and you'll be able to watch all kinds of shows like the Wayne Madsen Report, the Never Get Busted Again, and of course Freeman. And I have a bunch of new TV shows that I've been editing for this, and it's been insane, months and months. People don't know. I mean, the most unsung hero out there is the editor, I have to say, because as long as you don't notice him, he's doing his job, right? But, oh my God, days and days in and out editing these TV shows, you know, a full month just to create an hour of television. So, you know, and we're all working alone, doing this in our own little home and on our spare time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can relate to that. Trust me.
Yeah. So we're trying to find a way to actually network this thing. And as I say, I prefer to give tools other than answers. And so I've been trying to formulate some different tools. Now, the AMN Network TV show is really just to go out to the common public, the ones that aren't looking for this information, didn't know they needed it. So that's the reason for this show, is really to get a wider audience of people that are starting to go, oh, my God, you know, what's going on here? And then I'm also working on a couple of other bigger projects. I'm actually in a film right now with Dan Fogler, of Balls of Fury fame. He was recently in Mars Needs Moms, and he got an earful about Walt Disney from us, almost quit the movie production after he learned what we learned about Disney. But so this Hollywood star decided he was going to make his coming awake movie, and it's called Don Peyote, and I will be one of the prime characters of his film, and I might be on the big screen here after September.
That's incredible.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then we're working on a comic book, and I'll be, these wonderful guys in Philadelphia are working on a comic book, and I'll be a lead character in the comic book, kind of unveiling these secrets as my character. So we're gonna tie in all the truth. But when you start looking at this puzzle, you know, it's so surreal that it's a better comic book than a reality. I mean, you know, no one's going to believe President's a clone of Akhenaten. But at the same time, when you look to this storyline, you're going to see all the data necessary to say that this could be the truth, right up to his Obama head scars that are the latest thing. And I'm saying Obama's going, where's my cone? And really, I mean, that was the last piece of the puzzle I needed. I'm writing an article right now, the day after I called Barack a clone, because so much falls after I say these things, as opposed to collecting data and saying something's true. You know, I'll lay out the hypothesis, and then it'll prove itself throughout time. And it's an amazing thing to follow. I love the way that my show kind of opens that way, instead of like just getting all the hardcore data, throwing it together and saying this is the facts. I'll say Obama's a clone, and that he's going to use an asteroid to foment a space war. and he's a clone of this Akhenaten, and then they'll announce that there's an asteroid hurtling towards planet Earth, just as I had said, and they're going to call it Apophis, which is Akhenaten Satan. So, you know, the puzzle just keeps going right up to his head scars, and people are wondering where his cone went. Well, now we know. Now, this is outside of the thing. The last tool that I want to give to the public, and this I'm working on with my wife, Jamie, is Weird Stuff, the Encyclopedia of Weird Stuff. Now, we titled it very innocuously just to try and make it so that anyone would open it. And what this will do will unveil the culture of death to the common person and give a tool to the people that know what's going on but can't get their friends to listen to them to just lay this encyclopedia out in front of them. Now, it began as a magazine, but now it is so thick, it's an encyclopedia, that you can just lay that out and the people then can say, you know, here, read this and not even worry. And they're going to open their eyes seeing Lady Gaga performing blood rituals on American Idol or Lindsay Lohan in a recent Freemasonic Star Whacker. And you're going to get all the data and the things that you need to show people, hey, things are not as you think they are.
I think that might be a good tagline for Freeman's world in general. Things are not what you think they are. But yes. Yeah, so it's safe to say you're a pretty busy man these days.
Oh, it's insane. Yeah, honestly. And when it doesn't, you know, it takes months and months of back work, so no one sees the product. So, you know, they don't know that you're working so hard. But yeah, I am.
Yeah. Well, no, I can relate very much to what you're saying there. And I know the experience of recording 3 or 4 minutes of video and then spending 5 hours editing it. So, And that's the quick version of editing.
Exactly.
But, well, that's incredible. And really, the reason I wanted to get you on today is what you were just talking about. I've listened to a lot of researchers, obviously, I'm subscribed to so many podcasts, I can't listen to them all. And I'm sure everyone has that experience. They're trying to keep up with so many things. But I always tune into the Free Zone because every week I find you're talking about things that are genuinely, truly, powerfully solutions to what we're facing instead of the problems. And I like a lot of the memes that you're throwing out there. And I've heard you say things like the solution is not to look for problems and we have to overgrow the government and these types of memes that you're putting out there that I think are genuinely solutions to what we're looking at rather than the types of solutions that are often offered by a lot of other people who are working in this alternative media. And I really like that because you have documented, as you say, the culture of death that they're throwing in our face with their symbolism all the time. But you've also gone much beyond that to look at ways that we can actually create community and something that we can oppose to that or an alternative to that culture of death. So that's what I wanted to get you on today. To talk about it's kind of a broad subject, so I don't know where you want to pick that up, but basically I'm just looking at ways that we can create a culture of life instead of their culture of death that they want to shove in our face.
Well, we could almost start right where we left off last time, James, in that we were discussing at the very end the ideas of synchronicity, and it was truly this method of experience that alerted me to everything else and made me more understand it. I understood the esoteric realms a little better once you start to see the world working miraculously. So we have new sciences coming out, like the Institute of Noetic Sciences, that are trying to bring about the concept that mind can manipulate matter, mind over matter. This is, you know, same old magical adage that we had way back when, and now it's becoming scientifically proven. So when we're looking at our world and we're being given this funnel to focus on through the media that's owned by 5 major corporations and they're presenting everything we see, we are lost in our true mental world and caught up in this false reality. The Obama scandal right now is the current theme with the whole birth certificate and the idea that it's fraudulent. Well, yeah, it's fraudulent, but it was meant to be fraudulent. And you've always got to be able to be one step behind this image before attacking or joining the justice society as it's becoming. So when you start to realize that there is actually a force out there, well, the Illuminati, the brotherhoods, the religions, they have all had a name for this. They've called it the Holy Spirit. The Hebrews called this the Shekinah, which I believe played in on the Shekinah, Shekinah. And this is the goddess force. This is the nurturing force of the aspects of God. And when we start to see that the Holy Spirit actually is working in each and every one of our lives, but we're detracting ourselves from it by studying all information instead of experience, then we start to lose touch with our true base of reality. Now, just to put an example on how this is done in the negative sense is Walt Disney. Now, everybody loves Walt Disney. It's funny because I could talk, you know, bad news about anyone, but don't touch Disney. But this man, this was a military industrial corporation. This was a tool of the military or the Illuminati or however you want to see it, the government, to manipulate humanity into going into war and World War II, into paying their income taxes. Donald Duck did more to get people to pay their income taxes than any campaign has ever occurred. This was Walt Disney's methods. Now, when you start to look into the culture creation manipulation, you see Disney is at the forefront. Lindsay Lohan, Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, the Jacksons, you go on and on. They're all Walt Disney. And then all of the programming that comes out through them. And what Disney does, and you can check this all for yourself, in every single tale, they kill the mother. So you watch Finding Nemo, first scene, Nemo's mother eaten abusively by a barracuda. You go to Bambi, one of the earlier programmings, and you find Bambi's mom being dead. Spielberg is also a master of this as well in his dinosaur tales, and he has the little baby losing his mother. And this loss of the mother, or the exclusion of the mother, such as when you start to look at, let's go to a modern Disney, Tangled. Now, the very theme of this movie, and they even sing a song about it, is squash your mother's soul like a grape. Now, that is a direct quote from Tangled. But, of course, they're going to show you that this evil mother is actually not her true mother, and the girl's actually a little princess just waiting to be discovered. And because her mom tells her no, she can't go out with that thief. Don't go out with this, this boy that is just a rebel. All of a sudden, she's the evil character in the movie. And then, of course, she does become the evil character in the movie. And she's just sucking the soul of the child through her hair. I mean, this is the type of story. Or let's just throw one more. Little Mermaid. Well, of course, you've got a golden penis on the cover of this thing. But inside of the story, what do you have? You have this girl that wants to get together with a guy that has no interest in her. And she sells her soul to the black octopus witch to then be, she sells her only talent, her voice, to go and be with this human. And so this is the type of methods that they kill the mother in our true mentality. They don't even give you a place to go after the girl becomes a princess, after the wedding has occurred, the story's over and they lived happily ever after, right? But at that point, they are not given a matron type icon in order to follow. So there is no mother in these stories. So once the girl gets to her wedding, and this is what creates bridezillas, they have nowhere to go. That's their big day. That's the one that Walt Disney has programmed them for. And next thing you know, that they have nowhere to go and they just go crazy. And then you get to the songs that they're all producing, such as Britney, Beyonce, all of them. You'll find crazy, crazier, I'm going crazy, let's get crazy. And they are programming the crazy bitch, as we are calling it now. And this is the Bratz programming that you'll see in the toys. This is, you know, and so once you realize your entire worldview, from toys to movies to billboards to news, is all orchestrated to bring about this death culture, then you can start to realize how pervasive it is. And then you have to detach. And when you detach, you have nowhere to go. You're like, oh my God, I have no foundation. I have no support. I have no system to follow. And that's when synchronicity steps in and you find out that there actually isn't a beloved system within the universe that's already out there to guide you to the most perfect spot you needed to be. But that requires experience to believe.
That's so right, and I think you're right on the money when you say detach, because I think it is more a process of detaching from the system than trying to revolt against it or anything like that, because as I'm sure a lot of my listeners know, that just plays into the system itself. And I know deep in my gut that what you talk about is right, and that we have to detach ourselves from the system and create our own, but it's so easy to get sucked into the culture of justice and vengeance that they're trying to program into us right now, and I get caught up in it myself, trying to scrutinize every move of the globalists and look for the next false flag attack and things like that. But of course, if we get sucked into that, then we're just going to propagate and perpetuate the system as a whole, because it just becomes about that vengeance and justice. And you talk about how we have to get over that, get beyond that, and get through that, and come to a place where we are truly just about love and peace and understanding with our fellow humans. And that's really difficult to do. So I know it's right, but it's difficult to get there. And I guess I'm wondering how do we get past that culture of vengeance and justice that they want us to get wrapped up in?
Well, I've seen some people transcend this mentality, and it usually takes an altered state. Now, that does not necessarily mean you have to take some sort of psychedelics or anything to get into this altered state. The altered state is your very environment. So as I watch people go out to rainbow gatherings, now we'll have 20,000 people gather in a national forest away from all electromagnetic frequencies, away from all television media or programming, even away from any electricity whatsoever. There's only two rules at Rainbow, and that is no alcohol and no money allowed. Other than that, you're free to go. And of course, you know, you won't harm anyone, because a tribe is self-regulating. People think that if we went back to tribal societies, it'd be some sort of barbaric reality, but it's just not the case. Tribes self-regulate. So anyone that's being a jerk, he'll know it, because everyone will treat him like a jerk, and he'll get ostracized until he gets over his jerkiness, right? Well, out at Rainbow, when people come out there, I witnessed as they start to lose their trauma. Now, we are all post-traumatic stress disorder victims, each and every one of us, from watching these video games to Hollywood. If you see, you know, it's torture porn is what we're getting these days out of Hollywood. Things like Saw, or even, you don't even have to go that bad to get torture porn. And that's what we're calling it today. So when they get out to Rainbow, I watch as they start to shiver and shake, and their whole body will start to quake. And they're like, what's wrong with me? I don't understand. And this is the trauma leaving their body. They had never, ever been at a place of peace before. You know, be it electromagnetic frequencies or just the stresses of existence on in our material network, it releases out of you once you get yourself out of that particular frame. And I've watched this happen to so many people now that I now understand what's going on, and I can calm them through it. And once you get through it, then you feel blessed and beautiful, and all of a sudden the universe starts working in your favor. Now, when you walk out of Rainbow, now in Rainbow, everyone is walking around. We build a community. We build kitchens, and you realize that the food is the inevitable source of everything on humanity's planet, because we focus around the kitchen. And so every project focuses around kitchens, and they make these big, beautiful kitchens out of just the dead wood around with blazing ovens and everything else, so that you can go and eat, you know, some beautiful lasagna or whatever. You go out into these woods and you're eating gourmet food, which is all naturally brought, created with love, which is another thing, okay? So we're ingesting all of this food around us from these people that hate their jobs. So you got somebody who hates your food making your food. And this is a really bad thing, because everything is internalized. Everything comes, you are what you eat, and this includes the love vibe that is placed into the food that you eat. Now, at Rainbow, you're constantly eating blessed food, and these people are happy to generate it. No one's getting paid, so it's all about just the love. And once you're walking around and everyone's telling you, I love you, I love you, I love you, you know, you almost get sick of it. And everyone's making eye contact. Everybody's your friend. And yet they're all different religions. They're different cultures. They're different colors, creeds, whatever. They're all different out there, but they've all unified in this altered state of Rainbow. And you walk out of Rainbow and you get to your first town, and you stop, of course, at the convenience store to get whatever you need for the long road. And all of a sudden, you're under fluorescent lights. The people around you are no longer looking at you. They're all looking at the ground. No one will socialize with you. You walk around the grocery store. No one will talk to you. I actually had an amazing moment in Australia when a little child came up and asked me to get her this candy that she couldn't reach. And I realized that no child in America had ever come and asked me such a thing and would never be allowed to. We're not conditioned to love one another. We're conditioned to fear one another. And so I've seen it in festivals when people come together. People that would have never spoken to one another on a city bus are now in a bus just chatting away because they're all in the same altered state. And that's not drug-induced. That's simply location-induced and environment-induced. So these are the methods that we start to find is that the only solution for trauma-based mind control is safety and security. So we have to start to nurture these people that are victimized that don't even realize they're under this victimhood. And then they shift.
That's right. And you bring up such an important point about the food, because I think a lot of it does come down to food. And ultimately, whatever, you know, culture we try to build up as an alternative to what we're being placed into, it will center around food. And I know that's a big part of what you're encouraging and talking about. So tell us about some of the things that you're involved with around that idea of gardening.
We are now working on a film called Outgrow the Illuminati. And so we want to kind of combine these two thoughts together so that you can see the mistrust and then the trust. And what we have easily found, you know, as I found from Rainbow, is that everything does revolve around the food. Now, I was once working for Pizza Hut, and they came to me and said, you know, you make the best pizzas in the entire region. Can you come and teach all the rest of the Pizza Hut cooks your secret? And I looked at these corporate schmucks and I just laughed and said, you know, love is an ingredient and I can't teach that. And their jaws just dropped. They didn't know what to think. They didn't know what to do with me. And I didn't take the position. I didn't want the position. I was teaching everybody about HARP and Y2K and everything else at that moment. While serving them pizza, right? So one part of this is planting seeds. One part is that we're trying to barrage people with the truth and beat it into their skulls. Now, the main thing here is that you just need to plant the seed and let it grow. You cannot force a plant to grow. You cannot force people to believe what you believe. You can only plant the seed and let them grow. So that's one aspect of this growing apparatus instead of trying to, you know, beat this into your head. But what we started was a full community garden network. And it really, once again, fell together all synchronistically as my entire block decided it was a good time to start growing food. I think it's natural instinct, you know, like animals sensing the flood or whatever. They you know, the earthquake's coming and they're running. Humans are all of a sudden like, wow, this is just obvious. I've got to grow some food. And it's happening all over with us. And so we've got a big worm farm going and we filmed how to create this and showing you how low our budget is and how small you can do this. And we're actually comparing and contrasting this with another permaculture project that's going on in the north of town, which is actually a government sponsored, granted permaculture farm. And I think we're going to beat them on no budget whatsoever. I think we're going to outdo them. So we're going to document that at the same time. And so we have the worm farm going to get the good compost tea that we can then feed all of our plants with. We've got Ormus manufacturing going on, which is a method to create monoatomic elements, such as monoatomic gold, palladium, iridium. And this all comes out of dead sea salts or out of primordial salts You release it, and we're gonna have a film on this. You release it through using a lye, that's the, you know, the chemical lye, and food grade, of course. And you bring it right to the right pH, and it actually releases all these monoatomic elements and detaches everything else, which you wash out. And so now you're left with just the very base ingredients of life structure. And we have been placing this stuff on our plants, and they have tripled in size. It's amazing what this stuff does, because all of our soil has lost all of its ingredients, all of its nutrients and things. So we're learning the methods to bring all of this together. And we have Jay the Terraformist, who's been a star on my show a few times. We moved him in, and so he's living on my couch now. And I love finally being the couch guy instead of the surfer. So at this moment, we have Gong the Planet, who is a crew that's going around doing rhythmic healings or sonic healings on people. And we have Jay the Terraformist here, and we have a number of the neighborhood all gathered, and we're all just digging in. And we're going to plant and grow some of the best food that we could possibly ever imagine. And it's going to be more abundant. That's the thing when you start to discover that a seed makes another billion seeds. You know, it's just exponential. You can just, abundance is here. It's just a matter of releasing the mentality of having money. Consider that we are building this garden, improving the land, doing all of this work. And this is not my property. I am paying a landlord to live here. And yet I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to improve his land. I'm going to build all of this garden and then leave it for the next renter when I leave here.
So how much of the culture of death and the lie that humans are a scourge on this planet and that there's overpopulation and we can't have any more people, how much of that lie do you think is propagated by the idea of detaching us from nature and trying to convince us that we can't do anything like this on our own?
Yeah, all of it. And they know, you know, they know. That's why they're passing House resolutions to end these type of community gardens and to regulate gardening and the release of the vegetables out of such things. They don't want this. They know that we can empower ourselves with this. None of it has been true. Most of it came to us statistically based from the Club of Rome. And they put out a book called Limits to Growth. And it was this that was passed through every institution, through every university. I had to read it in college to say that humanity was expanding in such a grand rate that we would overgrow the planet in no time at all. Now, the truth of the scenario is that we find that people could, the entire planet's human population could probably fit comfortably in Texas. And as you drive across the United States, as I do so often, you'll find that there is plenty of empty space. The problem is, of course, water generation, power generation, and the problems that we have for just food, water, and power and structures. Now, these things are open. We just had the Pope talking with Mark Kelly on the International Space Station, and Mark's trying to explain to them, to the Pope, about how all of their new energies that they're using in the space station would free humanity and end all war and strife. And the Pope's like, yes, yes, you know. That was just the most recent with the Pope and the International Space Station. As we start to look and as this proliferation of intelligence is coming to us through YouTube, I mean, one of the greatest mystery schools out there, YouTube, anything you want to learn, there it is. We're starting to learn all these new techniques on generating energy, generating things, and being able to, you know, run cars on water or run power sources with no problems or heat your house with biomass. You know, you've got your compost going outside. It's also heating your bathtub. Meanwhile, your bathtub's draining into your banana pit. You know, it's all one good cycle, and we're starting to get a gestalt or a holographic vision of how this all works. So what we really believe and what we've seen as far as what humans being caretakers of the planet is that the more people, the better, if we were focused on creation instead of destruction. And the more people, the more leisure time and the more food and abundance and everything else we would have. So we've actually found it to be quite the opposite, that there would be more paradise, more paradisical gardens around the globe, and less climate change, less destruction and all of that, if there were more humans, if those humans were practicing agrarian societies.
Well, you mentioned the idea of YouTube as this great mystery school, and it's humorous, but it's actually, I mean, to a certain extent, isn't it true? I mean, we are living in this age where this alternative media really is sort of the crux of the issue, and without that, how would we be able to propagate the message of the culture of life?
Yes, it's true. I mean, my stuff's older than YouTube, so I've been trying to get this out there for a while. I guess yours too. And YouTube and the whole explosion of media has shown me I've almost made myself obsolete. right? And that was my goal. I wanted to make myself obsolete. I wanted to set the standard, set a direction, say, look, these are the type of things you might want to look towards that are a little outside of everybody's box. And then you can kind of see where things are flowing. And now I see it just proliferating like crazy. There's so much out there now that just takes off from where I left. And it's great. I'm so excited that it really worked, and that, you know, but at the same time, there's this dark side, as we were talking about, the sense of justice. Now, again, the children are focused on justice, and I know we wanted to stay positive and light, but the dark side of justice being programmed into each and every one of us, now we have a lot of fanaticism coming out where, well, you know what? I lost that train of thought, James. Let's stick to the positive.
Let's do that. Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying, and it's always there. The dark side of that is always being programmed into us. So, but yeah, we have to stay on the positive and think about what we can do. And I think you're right. I mean, the alternative media, in some ways, the gardening analogy is perfect, isn't it? Because you plant the seeds, and then you get to watch it flourish, and it grows into this incredible behemoth, this leviathan of so many people out there who are working together to spread this message that, you know, I mean, 10 years ago you were talking about HAARP, and now everybody is talking about HAARP, and right. It's that kind of thing. I mean, you plant the seeds, and you never know how it'll flourish.
But then I come in to tend and prune the garden. And so as everyone's talking about HAARP and saying, look, HAARP's causing Haiti, HAARP's causing, you know, Chile, it's causing all of this destruction. Well, there are other ionospheric heaters around the globe, and HAARP is the one that you're supposed to be focused on. So at the same time, I have to come back and kind of prune my work and say, okay, now you know about HAARP. I was trying to express like one example, but there are many examples. There's Sura is their ionospheric heat in Russia. So now you got to be careful not to plant seeds that grow into vines or into weeds, because if everybody's just now shouting about HAARP and is not informed about the other ionospheric heaters that could also be causing Chile or everything, then they can use this knowledge to destroy America, because the only focus has been on the American ionospheric heater. So then once you plant the seed, you always got to come back and prune it a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. And it's interesting, because I was actually just watching a clip from some Russian TV channel where there was they were interviewing some governmental figure who was saying that I don't know if he was drunk or what, but he was saying that we're going to destroy other countries with our heaters or whatever, just like Japan. It was,
yeah. It was Ahmadinejad and Hugo Chavez and Medvedev, they're all HAARP 9/11 truthers. You know, so you're talking about, you know, Medvedev and Ahmadinejad, they're 9/11 truthers and HAARP activists. So, you gotta be careful.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And I think you're right. Yeah, we have to tend the garden, because it can grow into weeds and vines and all sorts of things. So yeah, I mean, it's an interesting analogy to think about. Well, on that note, I mean, something that I wanted to clear up is kind of maybe beside the point, but there's become a bit of a pissing contest online between people who are trying to pin down who was the first person to predict 9/11. And I've gotten a lot of flack for daring to even play Alex Jones's prediction of 9/11 without mentioning Bill Cooper's and that kind of thing. But as I understand, you were actually predating both of them. So let's pin this down. When did you actually predict the 9/11? Event?
Okay. And unfortunately, the only proof I have of this are my friends. And, you know, I could get three or four people out. There were at least a dozen who know, maybe more. But that's the only proof I have is eyewitness accounts, and they could come on. Actually, the worshipful master of our lodge here, Freemasonic Lodge in Kansas, was one of the witnesses to me predicting 9/11, and he'll tell you it's the truth. Now, what he'll tell you, though, is that I predicted that there would be a major terrorist attack in the middle of September. And this was my initial assessment. Now, what had happened was Bill Clinton had been taken down for the Monica Lewinsky scandal. Maybe this was pre that even. God, so many years, right? Okay, well, this is how it fell, just so you can understand. I'm watching the creation of Homeland Security Department. Now, this was before we had the internet or the World Wide Web as we really know it today. Basically, you had AOL and you had no real interface with the internet to get to the World Wide Web. So there were some chat groups, some internet forums, some email bouncing back and forth, and constantly this message of the creation of Homeland Security and how they were going to need some sort of incident like the Rostov to bring about the Homeland Security. So as I watched this bill, and this was October, let me see if I can guesstimate the year. Well, okay, October, second year into Bill Clinton's presidency. And they were bringing about this bill for Homeland Security, which I have attached to my website under Freeman's Predictions. And you can see what I was following. And so as I saw that this bill came up every October 1st during the Clinton era, I expected a major terrorist attack in the middle of September for, you know, to bring this about. I had no clue that there was such a thing as an Alex Jones or Bill Cooper. Okay. I was not in that realms whatsoever. I'd dabbled in Coast to Coast with Art Bell at that point, but I had no idea of Patriot movements or any of this stuff. Or I would have called Alex Jones and told him, you know, or Bill Cooper, one of them. But I knew nothing about any of this. So I was just using my own supposition, my own understandings, my own esoteric studies as well. And as I predicted the middle of September, I kept waiting every time for this event to occur. Now 3 years had passed and still no event. And I'm like, dang, you know, I know they got to do this. So as I formulated the whole story, I looked at them taking Bill Clinton down for this extramarital affair, which is obviously a non-crime. And, you know, with all the crimes that they could have taken him down for, like the cocaine running, the murders, the real estate frauds, any of those things they could have gotten the Clintons on, they went after an extramarital affair and the insertion of a cigar in his secretary, right? No, this does not happen. So I'm like, okay, this is psychological warfare. This is them programming us to lose faith in the man, the president. So they put the man of the people in front of us, saxophone player, you know, loving guy, all this, the usual happy fellow. And they took him down over something that most people don't consider even really all that, you know, bad of an incident. Extramarital affair happens all the time, right? So as I saw this, I said, okay, the next thing they're going to do is force a president into office, because the next piece of the puzzle would be to destroy our concept or our belief in the very voting system and democracy and all of that. So I said, they're going to force a president into office. Next thing I know, I hear the rumblings of this letter W. Now, I am just now deciphering all the corporate logos around America, and I'd come to Phillips 66, and I hadn't been able to decipher this one yet. But as I had related each and every corporate logo, as we talked in our last show, to Kabbalism or to the Freemasonic rituals, then I realized that 66 had another meaning, which was the fallen angels, and had another way of being presented, because in Hebrew, 6 is V. So then 66 became VV. Now, this very same numerology was used in Star Wars as they killed all of the Jedi. Execute Order 66, they said, and they killed all the Jedi. Well, that's W. And what they did was force W into office and made it obvious through the Jeb Bush conspiracy. And I said, no, that's the conspiracy inside of the conspiracy. You're supposed to be angry about that. I predicted this. And once they said that W was forced into office, I said, this will be the year they do it. So that was the year I was certain. Now, I focused on the numbers 9/11 originally because HW, which HW in esoteric means Emperor of the Fallen Angels, he had announced the New World Order for the first time publicly 9/11, 1990. And so at that moment, I knew how ritualistic these guys were. Now, there were two more factors that came in, and I wish I'd known these at the time, but I only found them afterwards, and that was that the Pentagon's cornerstone was laid Masonically on 9/11, and also the Twin Towers cornerstones were laid on 9/11. And you can still see the cornerstone for the Pentagon, and you'll see that it is dated to 9/11. You can no longer see the Twin Towers. So I started seeing these numbers and how they connected to this story. Then I got into such theories from Aleister Crowley's accolades, such as Kenneth Grant, who writes a book or a chapter in his book on the mysteries of the hidden God and Aleister Crowley, a chapter called One After Ten. And it is explaining the very satanic message inside the numbers 9/11. Now, this is, you know, 1960s, I think this book was written. So the satanic reference to 9/11 is a well-known esoteric thing. And when people started seeing it showing up in Hollywood movies and like the Neo's birth certificate or his driver's license or whatever that was, or in the Simpsons with the New York, these type of things actually are them using these type of satanic numbers, not a premonition or a prediction of the event. Because I guarantee you they didn't know that the Twin Tower is going to be taken down. But such things are used to encode these magical numbers into their storylines so that they hold weight and power. Just as the only word that you can spell that equals 666 in English is Fox. And so you got your 21st century 666, which is Aleister Crowley's whole gig. And this whole thing wraps up in Crowley. And once you realize all of that. So all of this came in to clue me in to say that, okay, 9/11 is going to be the main terrorist attack. It's going to happen on that date. Had I known that the cornerstone dates, I would have predicted the buildings as well, because I was focused on the number, not the event. And when 9/11 actually happened, I didn't know. I didn't have a calendar. I didn't have a television. I had a line of people outside my door going, how the hell did you know? And that's how I learned of 9/11. It actually took me a good maybe 2 weeks to actually see the Twin Towers fall.
Wow.
Now, in that same projection, if I can just throw this in there, I had said the next step would be to make the next president ineligible. Now, I predicted this, and this one is bona fide. I have it all listed, all databased, all there, to say that my next projection was to say that the next president would be ineligible. He would be a constitutional crisis. And lo and behold, here comes Barack Barry Satorio. Now he's got a new name. What is it? Harrison. Hold on, I'm looking this one up. Harrison Bunnell, his latest Social Security access. Harrison Bunnell is also Barry Satorio, Barack Obama, Barry, you know, all of the names that this character has. And of course, when they pulled out the birth certificate, and here was Alex Jones going, why is this so easy? They didn't even flatten the PDF. They didn't even flatten this Photoshop document. I can just tear this apart. Well, it was supposed to be easy, just as Jeb Bush was supposed to be easy, just as Clinton's extramarital affair was supposed to be inconsequential. You're supposed to discover this. This is part of the program. And so this is where I come in, and I try to lay it out before it happens so that you can see. I predicted 10/13 for the banking crash on Alex Jones live in studio, and no one noticed. But, you know, actually, you go listen to the YouTube clip of it, and you'll find that they took out the audio of only that portion where I predict the banking crash for 10/13. Of course, you can watch it on my freemantv.com, and you'll see that I have 5 years of 10/13 reports, because I focus on the esoteric, and that's why 9/11 came to me. Whereas 10/13 is also Chris Carter's production company. It's the day that the Templars were taken down. And then you can follow this story unfold as the Pope announces, we are going to exonerate the Knights Templar for the 10/13 events. We no longer believe that they were pissing on the cross, kissing anuses, and things of this nature. So now the Pope has released the Templars of all wrongdoings. And this is the whole 10/13. And I cover these things in depth for years until they happen.
So what's the next prediction?
My next projection, I like to call them projections because people say prediction and they think that I'm talking about some sort of psychic experience, and it's not. These are bona fide scientific hypotheses that I have been proving and modulating over 5 years now, showing everyone, of course, a lot longer, but now officially. So my next one is the 4th of July, and it does go back to the Pope again. And what the Freemasonic Order has been attempting to bring about, and really I think this also goes to a religious group known as the B'nai B'rith, and this is actually a very, very funded organization and religion in Jerusalem. The B'nai B'rith are rich beyond compare. I have not been able to dig deep enough to give you good data on all of that, but that's where I'm leading with this. Anyway, as I started to watch symbolic gestures as the 9/11 thing, as the, you know, I see these symbolic gestures come. And the one that had been coming was the Pope and the Temple Mount. And this is, of course, part of the Third World War as it's going to be projected to us. So what I saw was that they want to take the Temple Mount back for the Papal corporation, back to the Vatican. and start to lay the foundation for this. So what happened to give me some key factors in this is W met with the Pope in St. John's Tower at the Vatican. Now, the Pope has never hosted a guest at St. John's Tower ever before in the entire existence of the Vatican. So why? Well, it happened to be on Friday the 13th, which is the famous 1013, which is the day they announced that the Templars were actually heretics. Then the Pope showed up for the birthday. Okay, well, I've got this all listed in the prediction section so that you can follow all the backups. But there were these symbolic gestures that the Pope was doing. And then the focus for the date came from different events, such as the cornerstone laying ceremony for the One World Tower, which was laid on the 4th of July, Masonically again. And then the opening of the crown, or the Shekinah, of the Statue of Liberty on the 4th of July, which is our Queen Semiramis from Babylon, which is all wrapped back up in the Vatican. So now I'm announcing, okay, there's going to be a 4th of July event. The purpose is to take back the Temple Mount, and that they're going to use this to spark World War III, because as Albert Pike had written to Mazzini, and I now have a big picture of Mazzini at the New York Grand Lodge in Freemasonry in New York, where all those flying saucers flew over on 1013. You see how all this stuff comes together. He wrote a letter to Mazzini, Albert Pike, the Grand Pontiff, Grand Sovereign Commander of the 33rd Scottish Rite Council back in the 1800s, wrote a letter to Mazzini saying, this is how we'll foment the three world wars. And the third one was to foment warfare between atheists and Christians. And this is why Barack Obama was not allowed to have any Christian programming on his inauguration. You'll hear that all the ministers use terms like the God of many nations, the God of many understandings. They're not allowed to use the name Jesus Christ. This was to incite violence between atheists and Christians and make the Christians feel more ready to get their justice. Then there is the fight between the Zionists and the Muslims, and this is dealing with the Temple Mount. And what had occurred, right as I was saying this, I was saying it on Edge Media TV and London Television, discussing this very 4th of July prediction, saying, well, the Pope went to the Temple Mount. He is the very first pontiff ever to go to the Temple Mount. And so as I'm saying, these things are actually occurring as I'm saying them. And the 4th of July did not occur that year. And as I say, I wait many years for my projections to come to fruition. I watch what's necessary. I watch the symbolic gestures and what their hopeful outcome is. And what this is the spark of World War III. And if this happens, then you'll know that that's when this moment begins.
Well, just incredible stuff. The world is a lot stranger than we think, but yeah, I guess whatever happens in your world, probably boredom is not one of the things that you're ever suffering from.
It's true. You know, sorry, I choked on my water. laughing at that. Excuse me. Because it's true. I look around me and I'm like, how do these people have time to have jobs? You know, another one of my key phrases and memes that I've been trying to spread there is quit your job, save the world. You know, there were two forms of magic that were practiced in ancient Egypt to control humanity, and that's talismans and contracts. And what that is money and corporations. And so once you realize that these are actually ancient forms of black magic, then you can start to see how they have usurped your very divine power. Because no longer are you looking for what fulfills your soul, you're looking for what fulfills your pocketbook. And in order to do this, then you're going to have to sign a contract, and that's the next form of magic that leads you into a cage. And this very system of magic has been employed since ancient Egypt and has been the constant factor keeping us out of our divine state. Because once you release yourself from contracts and talismans, money and corporations, then you all of a sudden will have your world fulfilled with so much abundance and so many people and so many things that you'll wonder how you ever managed to limit yourself to this singular event of going to this job every day.
Well, I'm sure that's a message that will resonate with a lot of people out there. So on that note, we're running out of time. So just tell people again about the website, how they can get in touch with you, and how they can help support your work.
Absolutely. Well, I have 6 DVDs out right now, one for each year, and they go up through corporate logos, our goddess Columbia, harp, chemtrails, into hand signs and gestures of the Illuminati, to ancient astronaut hypothesis, where I predicted that there would be a clone coming out of a mummy. I've got the works of Obama cloning in the coming space war, and Anna Nicole Brittany in Mind Control, and I'm about to release the latest one, E.T. and the Transhumanist Agenda, which is going to get all into the CERN scientists, what they're trying to do, how this equates to time travel, the secret space program, secret space war, all of that is in E.T. and the Transhumanist Agenda, so that'll be coming out very soon. So I have these 6 DVDs coming or out, and you can get those at freemantv.com. Or you can just send it along to me at P.O. Box 581, Lawrence, Kansas, 66044 is my P.O. Box. If you want to send me anything, your letters, your thoughts, your theories, I love it. I love my mailbox. I love getting all the letters from everybody. This is all on the website at freemantv.com if you don't have the address. And you can contact me by email, bluefly free@gmail.com. Now, one way to remember this is that Project Bluefly was the project that dealt with aliens running around planet Earth, whereas Blue Book dealt with the UFOs. Bluefly Free, I'm kind of announcing that maybe, just maybe, I'm an alien running around on planet Earth. bluefly free@gmail.com. Or just go on over to freemantv.com, check everything out, leave a comment there. I have 700 hours or more stuff for you to go through. Just start with the TV show or wherever you want, whatever flavor suits you, and ride the wave, because I'm guaranteed to blow your mind some way, somehow.
That's a guarantee. Yeah, I think that's a guarantee that you can safely follow through on.
Yeah. Or, you know, the new AMN TV network coming out. I've got that linked up on the front page as well. And that's a subscription-based type of scenario, whereas everything I've ever done has always been free and lovingly supported by all of you that listen to me and want to put in donations. We have a new chip-in going on the website right now for the Outgrow the Illuminati. And this is to sponsor and film our film on this subject. And, you know, we're going to do it with no money, but it would be a whole lot better with money.
Right. Well, excellent. Well, a ton of stuff going on, as always. So I really hope people will check into freemantv.com and begin blowing their minds. So on that note, I think we'll leave it there. Freeman, thank you so much for joining us again today on the Corbett Report.
Thank you, James. It was a true pleasure.